The title of my message this morning is Mountain Climbers. And I'm going to be looking at an account out of Joshua. But I'm going to ask a question at the beginning, because I'm a teacher and that's what teachers do. What defines us? What do we call ourselves in our own minds? I'm drawn to the story of Caleb in Joshua 14, which is where we'll be reading here shortly. When he called for a mountain as his right to conquer, what were the factors that led to Caleb asking for a difficult thing like this? What can we learn from this story? And as I was studying this, the question that came to me over and over is, am I a mountain climber? How much does it take before I say that this job is too difficult for me and I'd rather just bow out than face and conquer something? So I'd like to explore some of those thoughts this morning and look at three things that made Caleb say, give me this mountain. Joshua 14, I'm going to read verses 6 through 15. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath-Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. What made Caleb say, give me this mountain? The first thing that I see, he said, give me this mountain for the principle of the thing. For Caleb, this was personal. He had stood firm in the belief that God meant what he said. There in Numbers 13, when Moses sent the spies out, Caleb was one of those. And he came back and he said, yeah, there's giants, but God's with us. We're well able, he said, to take over this land. He had stood firm in that belief back then. He believed God then, and he believed God now. He'd stood with the minority who'd pushed back against the popular despair and the hand-wringing of the people who said, this is too big, this is devastating, we can't overcome, we can't deal with this. Now, he was claiming his right to the reward. But it's interesting to me what he asked for. He asked for a difficult reward. He didn't ask for land that had already been conquered, where he could simply go set up his house, plant his garden, put out some pretty flower beds, and live in ease. He asked for more work. He said, give me a mountain. He was asking for the privilege to fight, not wanting something handed to him on a silver platter. And it's interesting to me because in his mind, conquering the mountain seems a foregone conclusion. He's not worried about whether or not he's going to be able to overcome it. He's simply asking for the privilege to go and do it. He's planning on overcoming. He's planning on conquering. Principles are worth fighting for. Mountain climbing is hard. Mountain conquering is hard. And as with probably all hard tasks, there's many people who look at a difficult thing and say, is it worth it? Is it worth the work? And that's a reasonable question, but it has to be asked with a clear understanding of the end goal. I think too often we ask that question in an attempt to excuse us from the work or excuse us from the responsibility rather than to actually understand the goal behind the principle. Questions regarding principle must be asked in a way that leads us to an understanding of the principle itself. And too often I think we look at something and we ask questions like, is it worth the work? More in an effort to discredit the principle and make life easier on ourselves. Or we look at applications or faulty people and say, you know, they're not applying it correctly, therefore the principle must be flawed, rather than realizing that it's simply flawed people. It's like saying that because some people overeat, we should only sell certain kinds of food in stores. And I know that seems like a caricature, but it's something that we do. We look at somebody who is misusing a principle, and we say, therefore, the principle is not worthwhile. I've heard a conversation one time. These guys were talking about roads and the amount of traffic that are on roads and road rage in particular. And the one guy said, there's crazy people out there on the road, crazy people. That's why I always carry a gun in my truck. Clearly not seeing himself as part of that problem at all. But that's what happens when we react to the actions or decisions of others rather than looking at a principle itself. We see dramatic swings like that, where we remove ourselves from a situation and can point at someone else and say, that's wrong, this is wrong, they're not doing it right, that principle is flawed. Because we're not looking at the principle. We're looking at the actions of others and we're reacting to those actions rather than evaluating the principle itself. Focus on principle will lead to practical action or practical appliance. Caleb led with a principle, but he followed it with action. He didn't just say, climbing that mountain is worthwhile. Somebody should go climb that mountain. He said, climbing that mountain is worthwhile. I'm going to go climb it. Come with me. Focus on principle leads to practical application. Without application, principle is as powerful as a lame, blind, toothless lion. It's still a lion, but it's absolutely ineffective. What's the game behind climbing a mountain? And that's a poignant question. Is the mountain that I'm climbing worth climbing? Is the principle that I'm upholding worth upholding? Caleb's was. Is yours? Is mine? Do you even know what your mountain is? Or are you simply reacting to what's happening around you? Do you know the principles that you're standing for, that you're fighting for, that you're climbing and conquering for? Or are you simply climbing with the people around you? That's what everyone else is doing. Seems like a good mountain to go with since that's what's happening. So, yeah, I'll climb right along with them. Or do we actually know what we're climbing for? If we're simply climbing because we see Caleb climbing over there and a bunch of people climbing behind him and we decide, yeah, let's go climb this too, we're also going to be the ones that stand back and jeer when everyone says, no, it's too hard. There's too many giants. We need to stand back and wring our hands in despair because we don't know the principle. We need to know our goal. And if we do, then we can see the gain. And principles are always valid. And I firmly believe that even in messy situations that we face in life where things are confusing, people are confusing, we're not sure what kind of decision to make, we feel distraught, there's biblical principles that will always apply. We need to look for our end goal in those situations? What's the biblical principle that I'm aiming for? And how is it applied in this situation? And what are the different principles that guide a decision? If we simply focus on one principle and say, this is the one, this is the principle, and I'm going to follow this one at the expense of all the others, we become off balance and lopsided. Often there are several principles we need to apply. So that's why it's important we look at the end goal. Where do we want to be? What is the vision that we want to fulfill? And then allow the principles to take us there. It's too often, I think, at least for myself, that I know where I want something to be. And so I come to this very specific, very personal conclusion, and then I'm just going to react to anything that anybody else does in order to make that conclusion the right one, rather than looking at the principles and allowing them to guide me to wherever that decision is. Am I willing to be wrong? Caleb's focus on principle had not wavered. He said the same thing now as he had said back then, when he was one of only two people who was standing against the entirety of the despair that was coming from the Israelite people. He had said, God is well able. We can conquer. And that's exactly the same thing he's saying now. His belief in that principle hadn't changed at all. And he was willing to back it up with action. Again, he didn't say, I believe God is well able. Y'all go on over there and conquer that mountain. He said, I believe God is well able. Give me this mountain. And that's backing principle with application. Often, we're willing to point out how principle can be applied. Yeah, I see that situation over there. This is what they need to do. This is where they need to go. This is what they need to be looking at. But it's different in my situation. You don't understand, because my situation, I've got this going, and it's not the same. It's different. And I don't want anybody to try to speak into that, because you don't understand my situation. And again, that's reacting to things that are happening rather than looking at a principle and making choices based on principle. Mountains are high. Mountains are rough. Mountains are difficult. But mountain climbers embrace the challenge for the principle of the thing. Second thing I see that Caleb said, the reason why he said, give me this mountain, was for future generations. The territory that was conquered wasn't simply going to be for Caleb. He was willing to tackle that difficult terrain for the sake of those who would be coming much later. Vision is crucial in mountain climbers. When the day's climb is extra hard, when your hands are bleeding, your legs are exhausted, what keeps you going? Vision. It's the vision of future gain, a future accomplishment. Vision looks beyond what a decision means for me to what it means for other people as well. Selfish people find mountains very, very hard to conquer. It takes a team of dedicated people with a common vision to conquer a mountain. Caleb, at 85, he said, I'm strong enough to go out and come in. And that means that he was going to feel as good after the battle as he had felt before the battle, going out and coming in. He was saying this at 85. So he was strong, but even though he was strong, he was unable to conquer the Anakims alone. He wanted his people to share in that climb, but he also wanted them to share in the reward. Where are other people on my spectrum of vision? Am I selfishly looking out for myself without regard for others? Or am I looking out for maybe just a specific group? I've got some close friends that I'll look out for, but exclude others. Am I evaluating what my decisions now will mean for people that I don't even know, for people who are not yet born? If Caleb had been looking out only for himself, it would have made much more sense for him to go to one of the others and say, you've got this conquered land. Let me buy, you know, 5 acres from you, and I'm just going to build a little cottage and settle down peaceably, and I'll be a good neighbor to you. But he didn't. Because he was invested in the future, a future that was not even going to be his, he roared into combat at 85 years old. Mountain climbing for Caleb was a way of life. Vision looks beyond the seeds of today to the fruit of tomorrow. But individual decisions often look nothing like the fruit that comes out of it. And why is that? And what I mean by that is somebody makes one decision and they say, now because of this one decision, this is what's going to happen. And it's often not that way. And why is that? Why does an orange seed look nothing like an orange? There's a process by which fruit happens. And the seeds that we plant are a way of life. Rather than one decision made in isolation, there's a chain of decisions that together reveal the full picture of our vision. If you look in history and you see pivotal moments in history, in the Civil War, the Battle of Gettysburg is seen as a pivotal battle. If the Battle of Gettysburg would have been the only battle that would have been fought in the war, the Union Army would not have won the war. Gettysburg was one battle in a series of battles that pointed things in a specific direction that they then continued going. It turned things, and they kept going in that direction that things had been turned in, and therefore the outcome was victory for the northern side. And that's true in any pivotal battle that is fought down through history. And it's true in the pivotal decisions of our lives. Sometimes we look back at a specific decision and we say, because of that decision, I am here, there, somewhere. That's partially true. But it's not only that decision, because those decisions aren't made in isolation. They're a piece of many decisions that we make. That may have been one that turned us in a direction that we then continued to go. And so it may have been pivotal in that sense. But if we would have stopped with that decision, we would not be where we are now. And the reason that's important when it relates to vision is one decision is not going to change the trajectory of your children. It's going to have to be a chain of decisions that point them in a direction that they can then keep going. And Caleb understood that, which is why he didn't simply settle down with land that had already been conquered. He continued to conquer. He wanted his legacy to be one of what? Of mountain climbing. So that his children would continue that legacy of mountain climbing. And I look at that with some astonishment. Here he was at 85 years old, asking for another assignment. See, Caleb had made a series of decisions that led him to this request. He didn't suddenly decide, you know what? I'd like to conquer this mountain and see what that would be like. This was simply another decision in a series of decisions that had led him to that. You see, he was not only brave enough to have been chosen as one of the 12 scouts initially, but he was brave enough to be one of only two of them who said everything that was in opposition to what the multitude was saying. He said, we're able. We are well able. God is with us. We can conquer. And he was just continuing that line of thought here. It was simply another courageous decision in a life already defined by courage. Mountain climbers take on a difficult task because they know it will benefit others. Mountain climbers look around them as well as ahead of them. Mountain climbers are people who lay down their own comforts for the sake of helping others. We have a number of you who are going to be going down to Louisiana, and that's uncomfortable. You have to give up work. You have to leave your families. But that's what mountain climbers do. They do things that are not easy for the sake of others. They look for ways to lighten others' loads, deliberately do the hard things for people that may not be able to do those hard things for themselves. Mountains take time, planning, and teamwork to conquer. Mountain climbers take the challenge for the sake of those following. And then the third thing that I see that led Caleb to say, "Give me this mountain," was for a testament of God's faithfulness. He wanted people to know that God was faithful. And this is what had been his anchor all along. You see, when he said that we are well able, he wasn't saying that I can do it. He acknowledged that it was going to be difficult. But he said, with God, we are well able. And that had been his anchor. And now he said, if we want that to continue to be the legacy, if we want that to continue to be what we tell our children, that God is well able, that God is faithful, we need to keep doing that. And that's why I want to conquer this mountain, because I'm continuing to show my children that I believe God is able, even at 85 years old. Humanistic thinking would have us believe that we are in charge of our own destiny. We have everything within ourselves that we need to conquer, and we alone are the ones responsible for our failure or success. Caleb understood that the journey through the wilderness, the conquering of Canaan, settling in the promised land, was all an accomplishment, not of him, not even of those individual people that together made up that huge group, but an accomplishment of God. Caleb had stood strong when others doubted, Numbers 13 and 14, and now he was simply reasserting that God would always keep his promise. And God recognized that in him. And God said in Numbers 14, verse 24, he had said, these people, they don't believe in me. I can't allow them to go forward if they don't trust me. But, he said, my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit in him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb had not doubted, and this call for a mountain was his confirmation that his trust in God was as strong at 85 as it had been 40 years earlier. Strong older people are a testament, simply by their lives, that mountains are worth climbing and that God continues to keep his promises. And I just want to say thank you to all the older ones in our congregation and other places as well, who simply by living a life of faithfulness show us that mountains are worth climbing and that God keeps his promises. Mountain climbers are disciplined. It takes hard work to build the stamina required to conquer those peaks. In fact, it takes more work than we have within ourselves. We need God. Caleb never intended to take on this mountain by himself. He knew he was taking it with God. And so that's why he had no qualms about the assignment. That's why it was a foregone conclusion in his mind that he was going to conquer. Because he knew he wasn't doing the conquering. He knew it was God. We fail. We falter and we flounder. But God is always faithful. And that's a great comfort to me because I know my own weaknesses. I know my failures. And the fact that God can choose to use me in a way that may bless someone else is proof in my mind that God is great. Because I know that I can't. And the fact that God chooses to use people, period, to do his work is confirmation to me that God is faithful. Because none of us have the skill required to be everything for everyone that each person needs. And God knows that, yet he still chooses to use us. Why? Because he is faithful. And as servants of his, what we can do is not be everything for everyone, but we can be a means by which God can be seen and felt by others. And God finishes what he begins. In Philippians 1 verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Climbing the mountains we face take a lot of courage. Courage means facing our fears, moving forward in spite of our insecurities. And our willingness to tackle those fears is a testament to God at work in our lives. And that can be a monument in and of itself to our children and to ourselves, that God is fully able to conquer the mountains we face. Mountain climbing takes a lot of trust. You have to trust the equipment, the process, and you have to trust the guide. God is our guide, and he never fails. Mountain climbers look up at the peak, set their goals, sacrifice for others, and move forward with trust in God. In closing, I'm going to read a song. And this song is called Give Me This Mountain by Frank Garlock. And this song always makes me think of Andy because he introduced it to me. And we sang it with a group. I don't remember where exactly, but I remember practicing it with Andy. So I'm just going to read this song. Give me this mountain. The challenge now is here. What cause is there to fear? I will follow to the place where God has called. And though the task ahead is great, there's no need to wait. God's command is conquer cities, fenced and walled. This mountain I shall own, but not for me alone. For my children I shall claim this promised land. Because the word of God is sure, the future is secure. All the power we need is in God's mighty hand. Take courage and be strong. We'll sing the victor's song. All the blessings God has promised we may claim. So let us hasten to obey. Our Savior leads the way. He will help us win the battle for his name. And the chorus says, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. To the land where giants grow. That's the place I want to go. Give me this mountain, this very mountain. I shall conquer in the power of the Lord.